Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's Monday, February 27, 2023, live to be broadcast on the first day of March of this year, March 1st, 2023, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let me know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. A few birthday shout outs for a few friends whose birthdays are coming up in the next week. My friend Amy Kay. By the way, a big shout out to Amy Kay, who did the nicest thing to me. She got a hold of me when I was sick with COVID and wanted to know how I was and chatted back and forth with me, which made me feel really good. She sent me photos of her beautiful dog, Ruthie, who's a greyhound, and I am a dog freak and we don't have a dog. So I really appreciate it when people share their dogs with me and I get to pet them or interact with them or whatever. So she sent me pictures of Ruthie to cheer me up. And then the other thing she did is she suggested, why don't you watch some movies? And I said, that's a great idea. And she suggested one of her favorite rom-coms, which was called, it was one with Will Ferrell in it, Stranger Than Fiction. So she had me watch it. I was whining because I would have had to pay extra money on top of all the streaming services that I have. So she gave it to me as a present. And I was so grateful for that. It was such a sweet thing to do. So we got to watch the movie and enjoy it while I was sick with COVID. It was great. Then there's Eliza, my former office manager, who... there are certain organizational things in my practice that Eliza did that are still in place to this day, even though Eliza's been gone for like 7 or 8 years and moved to Arizona. But there are certain organizational things she did, like the way she organized our physical charts. That was something she did, and the organization is brilliant. It makes the charts really easy to work on. And then our friend Monica, our dear friend Monica, who's the president of our bicycle club, her birthday's coming up this week as well. So happy birthday to all of you. Hope to get to ride with you, Monica. And that's the other thing, Monica, when I was sick with COVID, she went out and bought me oranges. And I kept asking her, what do I owe you? And she would not tell me. So I asked a couple times, and then I realized that I should stop asking. And I ate all the oranges, and they were great. I was craving oranges. So one of the things I'm thinking is, with the craving of the oranges went down really good. I think there's a couple things there. One of them is, of course, you know, you're sick with a illness that has congestion in it. And when you have congestion, you're going to be thirsty. And eating a citrus fruit is a great way to get liquid down. That's not just drinking water. You're eating it and you want to eat it. And I think the other thing is perhaps I was craving the nutrients that are in the orange, the vitamin C and the bioflavonoids. And we do recommend that when you have any kind of respiratory illness, that you increase your vitamin C, because vitamin C does some really nice things. It stimulates the activity of your white blood cells, and it helps you to make collagen. And anything that helps you to make collagen is going to strengthen your mucous membranes. And when you have stronger mucous membranes, the lining of your respiratory system and your digestive system is going to be stronger. And so it's going to heal better. So you have the combination of the vitamin C pushing the white blood cells to be more active and go after viruses with the strengthening of the mucous membranes. And you're able to get through the illness a little bit better. So that's really good. And we have people increase their vitamin C when they're actually sick. You know, take a basic level of vitamin C, whether through food or doing a little bit of a supplement. Personally, right now, because... you know, it's still cold and flu season, and, you know, I just got over COVID. I'm taking vitamin C as well as eating vitamin C in food, and I'm still enjoying eating tangerines and oranges. I had a blood orange the other day. Boy, do I recommend blood oranges. So blood oranges, you get vitamin C, bioflavonoids, fiber, water, and then you also get anthocyanins, so you get those beautiful dark pigments. But you see how dark blood oranges are? You have to be careful because you'll stain stuff with the blood oranges. but they are a species, or not a species, they're a subspecies of orange that has anthocyanins in it. It's wonderful. And they're a little bit on the sweet side. They're so delicious. So I had a blood orange the other day. I've got a few blood oranges in the drawer. Maybe today would be a good day for a blood orange. Mm-hmm. So recommend trying it. I like blood orange flavored things too. You can go to the store, and I found a brand of rooibos tea. Rooibos is a South African tea that has no caffeine in it, but is energizing. And it's rooibos is Afrikaans for red bush. And again, red, anthocyanins, lots of antioxidants. I found a rooibos blood orange tea that was so good. And it's really good cold and it's really good hot. I highly recommend it. Okay, so now I want to talk about, last night we were talking about what it was like for Ron and me to finally catch COVID-19. And I wanted to talk about how the latest on our health status and what I'm doing for exercise and what Ron is doing. So where I'm at right now, I'm feeling as good as I have felt in a while. I'm very happy about that. I'm working with both my chiropractor, and, you know, people think, why would you listen to your chiropractor to give you instructions as how to function during a respiratory illness? Because my chiropractor is functioning the way a chiropractor should, in my opinion, which is to be holistically oriented. Chiropractic is not just about fixing the back. It's a holistic practice, and chiropractors can, just like naturopathic physicians, they can help you with your whole health and your whole body. They can be very helpful, and some chiropractors work with supplements, and some chiropractors, when I was in Oregon, chiropractors could order labs. I don't know if they still can out there, but chiropractors function very similarly to naturopaths, except that their focus was on chiropractic manipulation. So I have a lovely chiropractor who's very intuitive. He does applied kinesiology, and he will adjust you in whatever way is comfortable for you. And since I have disc degeneration in my back, he doesn't do what we call rack 'em and crack 'em. He doesn't do forced manipulation. He manipulates the table. He does gentle manipulations. He uses an activator. And he checks me out to see what I need. And he'll do some wacky things, like if I tell him that I'm having nerve problems in my eyes, he'll have me do eye exercises while he's adjusting me. If he thinks I have something that's being controlled neurologically, he'll do this thing where he actually has me put my hand on my head while he's adjusting me. So he's really brilliant. And then when I was still getting over COVID, I'm the 11th day since diagnosis, I went to see him, and he gave me an adjustment. And I had had a shaking episode where I had one of my unfortunate post-vaccine neurological symptoms is I'll get body shakes. And I had that day. And that evening, he gave me a wonderful adjustment. And I went home and I was really drowsy. And I got in bed at 5:30, started to doze and read a little bit, and then doze some more. And Ron was going to give me a bowl of soup. And at 20 after 10, after dozing and sleeping a lot, I said, "Ron, I never ate my soup." He said, "Go back to sleep." And so I said, "Okay." I went back to sleep. So I slept basically from 5:30 till 8 o'clock the next morning, and it was great. And then I felt a lot better after that, and then gradually got better. So Dr. Suez said to me, "Okay, you're going to wait to get back on your bike until March 1st. So that puts me off the bike for a whole month. Now, mind you, last year I was off the bike for two. Off the bike for 2 months, got back on, overdid it, had to get off for a week and a half, and then got back on. So I'm hoping I don't overdo it this time, but I'm pretty tickled because I went for a walk last week, didn't walk during the week, but yesterday Ron and I went for a walk and inadvertently walked for an hour and 20 minutes, only because our goal was, I wanted to keep it flat, so we drove to the rail trail, and just the rail trail in North Windham, and we walked out the rail trail, walked around to Aldi's, and then came back to the rail trail, and back to the car, which was parked at the end of the rail trail. With nice flat walk, but it took, you know, that because it was our intended route, it happened to take an hour and 20 minutes. and I did fine. And we walked over 3 miles. Oops. Wasn't intending to do that, but that's what we did. And today I thought, well, that went pretty well. So I got out and walked down, just did walk down Bassett's Bridge Road out to the boat launch and back, and had a really nice walk and met our new neighbors. Our new neighbors are a pair of emus, of course.
Why not?
So, yeah, sure. So if you see the bowling balls on Bassett's Ridge Road, the guy who lives there has a menagerie. He has Grateful Dead paraphernalia on the fence because he's a Grateful Dead fan. He's labeled his driveway Terrapin Station. There are turtles, and then there are the 5 dancing bears and a couple of crows. I think there's a magpie song or a crow song in the Grateful, and I can't remember which one it is. And if you know, please write it down here. So it's very joyful over there. And there's a dancing skeleton as well. So a lot of deadheads are going to show up, including me, in tie-dye and dancing and put up TikToks that have Grateful Dead music along it. So we'll probably do that. Anyway, I met the new neighbors. The new neighbors are a pair of emus. Okay. So the guy has emus. He has beautiful shaggy, auburn, light brown sheep. And he's got a couple of interesting cattle, one of whom is really shaggy with long horns, very, very humorous looking. So it's a good time. And across the street is my other neighbor who has a menagerie as well. It's really, really, so I can walk less than, I mean, we're talking a tenth of a mile from my house and see all the critters. It's really cool. And then I can look out the window. Yesterday I was doing yoga. I looked out the window at a pair of deer loping away in my backyard. It's pretty cool. So I'm very pleased in that it would appear that I'm doing well. I was able to do 1 hour and 20 of cardio yesterday and 30 minutes of cardio today. Of course, I kept my heart rate very low. My maximum heart rate yesterday for that 1 hour and 20 minute walk, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
99 beats a minute.
Perfect.
And today That's
what you need to do when you're getting back into it after COVID.
Well, and today I went a little bit higher. I got up to 110.
Okay.
And I think the reason I got up to 110 is because when you walk to the boat launch and back, you have to climb a bunch of hills. But still, that means I'm pretty fit, you know, and I didn't lose too much fitness. And so Wednesday, we'll try getting on the bike again, which will be very exciting. And if I'm feeling brave, I might get on the bike, the actual bike on the road. Well, that's going to depend on what the road conditions are like.
I would be real concerned about what the weather's going to be like.
That's right, because, yeah, we're supposed to get some snow tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow morning. So the roads might not be good. So in that case, I will ride really flat. In where? Yeah, where will I ride?
In the land of Zwift.
Yes.
Utopia.
Watopia, yes. I'll be riding in Watopia. That is absolutely true. Okay. So, I have to come back very slowly. I have to do light activity with very little resistance. I have been doing a lot of yoga. I've been doing some yoga every day, and I've been doing up to moderate yoga, and I've been feeling really good doing that. So I may go back to my weight routine tomorrow. Dr. Swez wanted me to wait till next week to do the weight routines, but I think I'm going to do the weight routine, but with all really light weights, because it's not going to be that different than doing my yoga. My weight routine, a couple of the exercises, I use 15, 20 pound weights. I'm not going to do that this week. I'm going to pull out my 5s and 6s and 2s and like that. So so I'm going to ease back into it. But it felt really good to do cardio, because I think when I don't get cardio, I get bummed.
Yeah.
I get a little sad.
That's no surprise.
Sad and crabby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be very glad to get, although, I mean, the yoga did help, but I mean, the lack of cardio, you just don't get the same kind of circulation when you don't do cardio. And I really appreciate walking. I think we should go for more romantic Fran and Ron walks.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm good.
Yeah. That there's something, the last couple of years, I missed the sneeze weed. I didn't get to go see the sneeze weed. I want to make sure we go see the sneeze weed this year.
Why do we want to sneeze?
We don't have to sneeze. We just want to see the sneeze weed.
Okay.
It's pretty. It's a nice walk. You go back that way. You go back through the woods and towards George's Beach, but instead of turning to George's, you can go look at George's Beach if you want, but you have to come back out, and then you keep going past that towards the, you wind up near the parking area in off North Windham Road Extension.
Okay.
Yeah, and then if you go in that direction, and there's some more waterways there, and that's where the sneezeweed grows. But you go see the sneezeweed in July. That's when you go see it. But so it will be July soon. And soon it will be Christmas. And Hanukkah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because it's February.
No.
All right. It won't be Christmas.
No.
First it has to be Purim, which will be in a few weeks. And it was just Mardi Gras. All right. So here's some things you can do. Last week we talked about what it was like to have COVID, and now Ron taught, he was on the spin bike for 3 hours on Saturday,
yep.
He's at a point where usually he teaches 6 days straight per week spin classes, so he's on the spin bike 6 days running, and then he has off on Saturday. Well, this week he was off Saturday. Yesterday was Saturday. Saturday was the 25th.
Uh-huh.
So 25 minus 7 is the 25 minus 7 is the 18th. So he was off on the 18th, got back on the bike on the 19th, and he will be on the bike straight through from the 19th through this Friday the 3rd.
Yep.
Yeah, and he will
pretty much
have a day off unless he chooses to teach off the bike, which he won't because he doesn't. God forbid something should happen to him. So, anyway.
Nothing's going to happen.
Right.
That's
what very you always
fit.
Say.
I'm in good shape.
Yeah.
I had an outstanding day on the bike today. Another milestone broken through.
Wonderful.
And tomorrow I will go very easy.
Thank
goodness.
Because
I have a system.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So I wanted to talk about things you can do to help protect yourself from COVID-19. Mind you, I don't want to be sitting here telling you this is definitely going to help to protect you from COVID-19. I am not saying that. I'm saying these are things that make sense. Some of them have been studied. Some of them have not. I am not going to sit here and tell you if you do this, you're not going to get COVID. I can't say that because I did a lot of things to protect myself. And if you are sitting in a room where somebody's breathing aerosols for a long time, you're probably going to get COVID. It's very contagious. And if you cleaned your nose out before you went to sleep, and then you went ahead and you got exposed to this level of aerosols, Omicron variants of COVID are extremely contagious. If you're exposed to aerosols, you're probably going to catch it. If you don't catch it, it's because your immune system chewed it up, not because it didn't get in. So anyway, in having said that, here are some things that can be helpful. So none of these are 100% foolproof, but they can help to protect you and possibly help you get less serious cases of these illnesses. So it can also help you to protect you against respiratory and other gastrointestinal infections. Okay, so first of all, consider your activities. Depending on what you have to do, you may have to assess risk for various things that you do. If you're about to travel, do you want to go to that concert or go to that sporting event or get together with a lot of people indoors? Can you get together outdoors? Can you wear a mask at those activities? You really have to think about it. And I was very nervous before I fixed to go to Florida in January because I really wanted to go visit my mother. That was very important to me. And it was right before, it was at Christmas time, and we were gathering together for various activities. There was Thanksgiving, and then there was Christmas, and we were getting together with people who aren't necessarily being as careful as I am about masking. Some of the people we got together with did, in fact, go travel after we got together with them and caught COVID. So you can't assume that anybody that you're hanging out with is going to be as careful as you are. So if you can mask in those activities, that's great. And if you you may want to reconsider whether you want to go. And I do have a friend who we had some kind of a gathering, and she chose not to come because she was about to go and visit her elderly parents and travel on a plane to go see them. So she held back on her activities. That's something that you can consider doing. And there are people like, oh, you just have to go live your life. Right. Good. You know, do you have 80-something-year-old parents or 90-something-year-old parents? Do you want to carry COVID to them? So you do you want to carry other respiratory infections to them? These are things that you really have to weigh. And for me, it's not entirely worth it, but I had to, you know, weigh, am I going to be antisocial? And I chose to go to these things, which makes me nervous. And I may not do that next year. I don't know. It depends on what the climate is around these infections. The next thing is wear your mask. I know you're sick of the mask. We're all sick of the mask, but, masking helps. We are going to go April 1st. We're going to go masking optional in our office because clinics, I don't know about hospitals and more intensive care situations, but clinics are not required to wear masks and local businesses are not required to wear masks. It's up to the individual business. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mask when I feel like I need to personally, and it's up to my staff if they want to mask. And if I have patients who want to mask and want me to mask, I will. And my staff will as well in the presence of people who feel like they want to wear masks. There's controversy about how well masks work, but I'm in the camp that they are helpful. No, they're not 100% protective, but it also depends on the viral load you're presented with. Mm-hmm. If there's a high load of virus in the room, the mask will prevent you from all or most of that viral load. Even if you get some, it won't be as much as if you were unmasked and you may have less serious illness. Ron and I are wearing masks in large group gatherings, such as sporting events. Are you still wearing masks at sporting events?
Yeah.
Okay. Also in the gym, but not while he's teaching, which is probably how he brought home COVID. At the store, and for me in my office, I'm still wearing a mask and requiring that my patients do as well in my office through the end of March. Because I figure it's still going to be cold out. It's still sort of cold and flu season. And starting in April, we'll let that go. We could have let it go already. I have colleagues who are mask optional at this time. N95 masks are the most protective. KN95s and KF94s are nearly as protected. But cloth masks do offer some protection. So I have a lot of patients who still come in cloth masks, and I do allow that. I'd rather they wore a cloth mask than nothing. And even though they say, you know, all these disposable masks are more protective, in Asia, they've been using cloth masks for years, and I think they do offer some protection. So if somebody comes in and wants to wear a cloth mask. Now, I had a situation where a fella came in, and he's like, I can't wear the paper mask. I'm allergic to them. And I had to, and instead of him saying, hey, I'll reschedule or I'll go outside and we can do my appointment virtually, he expected me to make the decision of whether I wanted him to come in or not. Please don't do that to your practitioner. If your practitioner has a rule about wearing a mask, remember to wear your mask. And if you can't wear a paper mask, either do your visit virtually or bring a cloth mask. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to bring cloth masks in for people who insist that they can't wear the paper masks. If you have a situation where you have an establishment that's requiring masking and you walk in expecting to be taken care of while you are unmasked, realize that you might be thrown out, that you might be asked to leave. And you have to make a decision for yourself. That figure out a way to wear a mask that works for you. Like if you can't wear paper masks, wear cloth ones. Figure out a way to do your visit virtually, you know, or get curbsided or whatever, depending on the establishment. But if you are working with a small business, the small business may decide in your favor and make a decision that they feel is not in their best interests. And that's disrespectful to the business owner. This is a situation where everybody needs to help everybody to be comfortable. And if you make somebody uncomfortable, you may be in a situation where a small business owner has to make a decision that's against what they want to do so that they can serve you, because that's what business owners do. Sometimes you make decisions that are not in your best interest in order to keep you as a customer. So that happened to me recently, and I didn't really appreciate it. And I hope that people think about those things when they're going out to do stuff. I, on the other hand, had diagnosed COVID, and I think I was scheduled to have my dental prophylaxis on the 13th day. of since diagnosis. And it was the 13th, or maybe it was a week later, the 20th day. Maybe it was the 13th day. And I talked to my dentist, and they were on the fence. And I still had a little bit of congestion, but I had already tested negative for COVID. And they were not comfortable because I still had some congestion. They said, you know, our hygienist is going to be in your face and you're going to have your mouth open. We're not quite comfortable with it. I said, and I was very supportive. I said, listen, if you're not comfortable at all, I am perfectly fine with rescheduling. It's no problem at all. Because I want you to feel safe and comfortable. And so we rescheduled me. And unfortunately, with dental prophylaxis, you're looking at, you have to wait another 2 months, but that's fine. You know, my teeth are not falling out of my head. It's perfectly fine. And I felt good about helping them to be more comfortable. And quite frankly, I used the rest. It was a good thing. So anyway, be respectful, wear masks when you can, and be aware that, and the other thing to think about is you're not just trying to avoid COVID-19. You're trying to avoid colds and the flu and gastrointestinal issues. All right. So the other thing is to get extra rest. It's a good idea. It's a good time of year to do less stuff, get extra sleep, more naps, read some books, do more quiet activities. As soon as I said that, Ron yawned. So you're very suggestible.
I'm very sleepy.
You're very sleepy as well. Well, no wonder, because again, you're on the bike starting on February 19th through Friday the 3rd. No wonder you're tired. And you have a thing this afternoon, don't you? You have a meeting this afternoon.
I just have a meeting, that's all. It's not a big deal.
Uh-huh. Okay. So get extra rest, do relaxing yoga, do meditation, don't schedule yourself like crazy. Being rested means that you don't overuse your adrenal hormones and they'll be more available to run your immune system. Also, when you get adequate rest and sleep, you make more melatonin, and melatonin specifically is a great immune hormone that helps to power your immune system. It also helps to thin your blood. And so it's a great thing to have plenty of while you have COVID-19. I thought about taking melatonin, but I decided that I wasn't going to take it because I'm very blessed in that I sleep well. I was very fortunate with my vaccine issues that I didn't have very much of that adrenal thing early on I did, but waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to get back to sleep, that only happens to me rarely. And I'm very good at sleeping. So I figured, I don't know if I want to take extra melatonin because it might make me groggy. I'm probably melatonin sufficient. And the way I choose to make melatonin is by eating protein. I take protein shakes, and we eat adequate protein through the day because tyrosine and tryptophan are precursors to melatonin. And I sleep. I get sleep and I get rest and I don't make myself overtired. And one of the things I'm finding with the last 2 days of cardio is it helps you sleep more, which is really good. So if you can get a little bit of cardio, if you're not in a place where you shouldn't be having cardio, you will sleep better and you will make your own melatonin, and then you may not have to take it. If you take melatonin and you wake up in the morning groggy and or you get weird dreams at night, you are probably melatonin sufficient and don't need to take it. My patients who get weird symptoms like that, I tell them, then don't bother taking it. I might make an exception for people who we want to take high-dose melatonin for severe immune issues like cancer. So we might just tell them, take your 20 milligrams and deal with the dreams. But but for your average person, if you sleep well and or you get weird dreams and grogginess after taking melatonin, you probably shouldn't take it, because the way you're making your melatonin, you don't always have to ingest a pill to upregulate a nutrient or a hormone in your body. There are things you can actually physically do to have that happen, things you can eat in food. That's why people keep asking me. There's a meal replacement that's being advertised heavily on the internet, and I got asked recently, is this a good thing for me to take? And I looked at the ingredients, and it has really great ingredients. It's one of those things that if you buy one bag, it's a lot of money, and if you buy a subscription, it's a little less money, but still a lot per month. And you could probably get all of those things by eating a healthy diet. And there are other products that are not as heavily marketed that you can just get at the health food store, and you can buy one-offs for a fair bit less than this thing costs. So if you even need to do that, you know, and I only recommend people take protein shakes and meal replacements if they're really having a difficult time eating well. All right. So now, don't overuse your adrenal hormones. Get sleep. Get good sleep. We've talked about sleep hygiene before. Okay, another thing to do. Clean your nose and your throat. We naturopathic physicians have been consistently recommending this. Early in the pandemic, there hadn't been any research on nasal irrigation made public. So I'm very glad to find the following. A study from the Medical College of Georgia confirms that patients who used a saline nasal irrigation solution 2 times a day were less likely to be hospitalized or die from COVID-19. In their study, 11% of COVID-19 positive patients who didn't irrigate were hospitalized or died, compared to 1.3% hospitalized who did irrigate 2 times a day, and none of them died. So I'm spraying my nose with a solution of salt, xylitol, and grapefruit seed extract every day. I'm also gargling with salt water and essential oils because it appears that the Omicron variants of COVID-19 multiply in the back of the throat. If you clean your nose and throat 1 to 2 times a day for prevention, you're less likely to catch any of these respiratory illnesses. And if you irrigate and gargle 2 times a day with illness, you're likely to resolve your illness more quickly. That has always been my experience. When I have a cold, when I'm home resting, I clean my nose as soon as it becomes stuffy or runny, which may be as many as 7 times a day. When I had COVID-19, the thing was, you know, my rule usually when I have a respiratory infection is when my nose starts to really run again, I'll run into the bathroom and do another neti pot. That was my rule. It's running now, so I'm going to just go in and saline that stuff that's coming out. COVID-19 was interesting because the respiratory symptoms were mild. They were milder than I am used to getting. And it concerned Ron and me that they were that mild, that your immune system didn't, like, I've had colds where my nose is like a faucet, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've had bronchitises where I terrify Ron because I sound
oh
like,
oh my God, she sounds horrible.
Right. That did not happen with COVID-19. So the Omicron variants, and it may just be because the Omicron variants, this is classic Omicron. The virus gets into your bronchi, but it doesn't go very deep into the lungs at all. It tends to stay very high up, and that was my experience. I would say I have a teeny tiny bit of congestion left. Ron has more, but he...
I always do.
He has allergies this time of year.
Yeah.
And for a while I took guaifenesin, which is, that's the active ingredient in Mucinex, but I have a natural supplement that doesn't have coloring and has less artificial stuff in it that has guaifenesin in it. Guaifenesin is extract of guaiacum bark, and it thins mucus, makes it easier to come up. The product that I have also has some herbs in it. It has some fenugreek and mullein and something else in it. Fenugreek, mullein, and one other herb. So it's a nice product because it has herbs. It doesn't have any dextromethorphan in it, you know, the opioid cough suppressant, and it doesn't have any decongestant, no phenylephrine. It's just guaifenesin, and all guaifenesin does is thin mucus. The only problem with guaifenesin is if you take too much of it, when you get into the over 2,000 milligram range, you can start getting some queasiness, some nausea. I personally, when I take guaifenesin, I find that 800 milligrams in a day is plenty. And if you take 2 Mucinex, one Mucinex pill has 600 milligrams in it. So if you take 1 or 2 a day, it's going to help to thin your mucus. It's usually plenty. Some people might choose to take more. If it could, just be aware that it could make you nauseous. Mucolytics tend to do that. There are other mucolytics out there that are herbal that if you take a little bit of them, they're expectorants. If you take too much of them, they'll make you nauseous. And so, you know, the skunk cabbage that comes up in the creeks during the early spring, skunk cabbage, simple carpus, is when you can make a tincture out of it, and it is an expectorant, and if you take too much of it, it will make you nauseous. Lobelia has that same property. Lobelia is what we call Indian tobacco, you can get pot lobelia, which is a very pretty very pretty potted plant, and I like having pot lobelia around, you know, to put in pots decoratively. Maybe we'll get that this year, because I remember when I was living in Nova Scotia, I had some pot lobelia in, I had a wrought iron railing up the walkway to my flat, and we had square pots hanging off the wrought iron railing, and I planted pot lobelia in them, and I enjoyed coming home and deadheading it. I'd pull off the dead flowers, and when you deadhead, first of all, you know, you could go dance in front of our neighbors and like the Grateful Dead.
That would be a different type of deadhead.
Yes. Right. Or you can stand in front of your flowers and pull off the dead flowers. And when you do that, guess what happens? You get more flowers. So that's a nice thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Other thing I didn't realize last year is that we didn't have grapes on our volunteer grapevine in the back. And I didn't realize that you have to prune it so that it'll grow flowers. And the reason you keep getting basil flowers is because you keep cutting the basil flowers.
Right.
So it'll make more basil flowers for us.
Exactly.
I can't believe that how much mileage you've got out of those potted basil plants.
Yeah, they were outside during the summer, and I just brought them in and just kept pinching them back.
They're very weak right now. They're anemic looking.
They're done. They're pretty much done.
And yet you're still cutting the flowers
off.
But
I'm going to start some seeds next.
Yeah.
Next batch, that's all. So that'll be a lot better.
So cleaning your nose and throat is going to be really helpful. So it's a good idea to do, and I try to encourage my patients to do it. So the next thing is avoid refined sugar and starches. These slow down the functioning of your white blood cells, and use B vitamins and magnesium for processing, which you need for a healthy immune system. Get regular exercise when you're not sick. Your body was meant to move. It doesn't have to be high intensity, but do that if you like. Moderate to lower intensity will also strengthen your immune system. It improves circulation and stress. What's the best exercise to do?
The one you'll do.
You got it. That's right. That's what I tell my patients. I look at my patients, what's the best exercise for you to do? And they're like, walking? I'm like, well, maybe. It doesn't matter. It's whatever one you'll do. And I talk to them about exercise snacks. And exercise snacks is a very popular concept. This is I've had a number of patients do this because I give them the idea that, listen, don't feel like you have to have a full-on half hour available to you to get your exercise. Squeeze in 5 minutes here and there throughout the day. And you may not have half an hour, but you probably have 5 minutes. And if you do 5 minutes, you're going to be more efficient at whatever else you do. So 5 minutes of squats, 5 minutes of stretching, 5 minutes of have some bands or balls next to your desk, 5 minutes of light weights, 5 minutes of lunges, and do them at different times throughout the day. And before you know it, you've got 20 minutes to half an hour in, and that's really worth something. I mean, I was concerned I would lose leg strength while I was not doing my cardio, but because I did regular yoga, the yoga really helped me to keep my strength up. My legs still feel pretty strong, so that's good. You know, standing on one leg for a long time in Maria's class yesterday was hard, because she made us do tree and do all these different things with tree, and I was on one leg for a long time. And anyway, so and then we have Angie, who makes us do pistol, which is also very exciting. All right. So then breathe deeply. You can just breathe or do meditation or do yoga nidra or do relaxing yoga like yin or do qigong. Deep breathing lowers cortisol and reduces inflammation so that your immune system will be available when it's time to fight pathogens. So yoga nidra, I'll just remind you what yoga nidra is. Yoga nidra is tremendous. And if you're not sure what it is, you can go online and find videos of somebody leading yoga nidra. One of the people who has a lot of yoga nidra set up online for you to just access is Ali Boothroyd. She does a very nice job with it. And yoga nidra, you get really comfortable, and you know, you just want to be in a really comfortable position that you can stay in for whatever amount of time you're going to do the yoga nidra. You can do 5 minutes, you can do 10 minutes, you can do 15, 20, you can do an hour and a half, you can do anything in between. And you just lie there. I mean, personally, if I'm going to do yoga nidra, I'm probably going to be on my, I'm going to either be on the floor or on my bed. I'm going to have, if it's cool, I'm going to be covered in a blanket. If not, I'll just be lying there. I'm going to have a bolster under my knees. I'm going to have a pillow under my head. You just want to be in a position where you feel like you're floating and you don't have to have any effort to lie there. So if you're lying on the floor, personally, I can lie on the floor with no bolster under my knees, but it's more comfortable to have one under my knees, and it's more comfortable to have at least a little pillow under my head. So yoga nidra I choose to do on my bed, lie there in basically Shavasana position with a bolster under my knees, with a pillow under my head, flip on the video. There's nothing to watch because you're lying there with your eyes closed. So you can flip on audio as well. And you do what she says. And what yoga nidra is, it's basically progressive relaxation. So she'll tell you to relax the top of your head, bring awareness to the top of your head, bring awareness to your eyes, bring awareness to your tongue, the root of your tongue, the tip of your tongue. And she'll go through various parts of body parts and then the whole body part and ask you to bring awareness to it and allow you to feel heavy and allow it to relax. And if you're suggestible, it's amazing because you just do what they say and you can feel it happening while she's saying it. So if you play along, it really is helpful. And so the benefit of doing yoga nidra is you are deep breathing while you're doing that. And when you breathe deeply, you are lowering cortisol. And that's generally the goal, that you're going to lower cortisol. You're going to get into a state of relaxation. You're accessing your parasympathetic nervous system. You're strengthening the vagus nerve so it can help your vagus nerve. And so that you're going to be more relaxed overall. If you have a good functioning parasympathetic nervous system, your immune system is going to work better. And if your immune system is working better, of course, you're going to get less inflammatory situations. If you have an autoimmune condition, or if you have body aches and pains, or if you're trying to get over a respiratory condition, or if you're trying to protect yourself from respiratory conditions, you're going to do better if your vagus nerve is working well and you are calmer. So it's really worth doing any day, every day, all year, whenever, indoors, outdoors, 5 minutes, 90 minutes, anything in between. Don't feel like if you don't have 90 minutes, you can't do it. 5 minutes of yoga nidra is great. It will help you. 5 minutes of any sort of, you don't want to do yoga nidra, do any sort of guided meditation. It's really helpful. So good for you. So good for your immune system. Again, helpful for preventing illness, for pain, for enhancing sleep, for anything, whatever you have coming in. Like I told you, The number one thing, do you know what the number thing I treat in my practice is? Number one condition.
No.
Stress.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That doesn't surprise me.
That's it. So, and it doesn't matter if the person is coming in with irritable bowel or allergies or cancer or autoimmune conditions. What's the number one condition I treat?
I don't know, stress.
Yes.
Yeah.
For all of them. And you know how many times people say to me, I'm not stressed. And then I say, what are you doing in your life? Well, I'm working 45 hours a week. I have children and I have a commute. You have stress. Right. So people don't understand the meaning of the word stress. They think that, well, they don't have anything bad going on in their life, so they don't feel stressed out. But I have to explain to them, you are stressed because you're actively doing things. If you were not stressed, it would mean that you got to get up in the morning, ease into your day, do a little meditation, have a little breakfast, rest, figure out what you want to do, do an activity, sit down and rest after, do another activity, rest. That's what not stressed looks like, where you have unstructured time where you can do whatever you want. The minute you have scheduling and things to do, you have stress. And if you're working, you have stress. So automatically, if you are working, even if you are happy as a clam at your job, you need to come down from that. So, all right. So then there's supplementation. And notice how supplementation is way down on here. And what I'm trying to encourage people to do is, the most important thing for your health is your lifestyle. It's how you eat, how you sleep, how you breathe, how you poop, how you pee, how you sweat. Those are the most important things. Taking supplements is not the the be-all and end-all of naturopathic medicine. So it makes me nuts. They have these keto gummies that they're advertising on the internet. Don't believe it. I mean, that's not the most important thing. If you want to be at a lower weight, there's only one way to lose weight, and that's calorie deficit in a state of hormonal balance. How do you do that? You eat less food and you balance your hormones. How do you balance your hormones? By work-life balance. That's all there is to it. Stress reduction. Stress reduction and eating a diet that works for you. That's how you get to a weight that you want to be at. It's not by taking keto gummies. My keto gummies might help a little bit, but they are so far down the list. That's why supplements by design are so far down the list. Having said that, I am taking a bunch of supplements to help with my inflammation and my immune system. The biggies for preventing respiratory infections, including possibly COVID-19, are vitamin C, vitamin D. Vitamin D is something you want to get your doc to test for you and see what level you're at. My opinion is you should be at least 55 nanograms per milliliter. Some people think higher. Some people think lower. And so it depends on what research you read. Zinc. If you're going to take a lot of zinc, you probably want to take some copper to balance it, because your zinc-copper balance can go off and that can cause some hematological problems. Silver nanoparticles have been studied to kill COVID-19 and are also helpful at killing other viruses. So get the nanoparticles, not the stuff that's called colloidal silver. It should say silver, like silver hydrosol or silver nanoparticles on the bottle, as opposed to colloidal. Now, some of you are like, but I use my colloidal silver and it works. So use your colloidal silver if it works for you. It's okay. But it's just that the studies are on silver nanoparticles. So using silver nanoparticles as an intranasal spray has been studied to be a helpful way to get rid of viruses and bacteria. So I am doing that regularly. I was taking silver nanoparticles internally while I actually had COVID. Again, I'm at day... What's today? Today's the 27th while I'm recording this. So 27 minus, this is my day 25 since diagnosis, and I tested negative, I guess it was day 12 on Valentine's Day. One of my Valentine's Day presents was a negative COVID test. Woohoo. So you can dose lower for prevention and higher with illness. Consult with your natural health practitioner for advice. The wet sock treatment, throat compress, hot fomentation, hot foot baths, constitutional hydrotherapies. So the wet sock treatment, you make sure your feet are nice and warm. If they're not warm, warm them up with a hot foot bath, under running them under a hot tap in your bathtub, or use standing over the heater or in front of the wood stove or the fireplace. Get them nice and warm. Wring out thin cotton socks, put them on your feet, put warm wool socks over top of that, and go to bed that way. Your body's going to attempt to warm up those cold socks and draw congestion and inflammation out of your head and your upper body. Throat compress, you make sure your neck is nice and warm. You get a thin cotton bandana, wring it out in cold water, put it around your neck, put a warm wool scarf around that, and that's going to help to drain the lymph nodes in your neck. Hot fomentation is a whole body heating treatment where your feet are in hot water or on a heating pad. Your back has a heating pad on it. And you get wrapped up in blankets and hot towels placed on you, alternating with cold mitten friction. It's a very much heating treatment, and it can turn, I've seen it turn bronchitis and pneumonia around. It's really amazing. Just a straight up hot foot bath. If you do any heating treatment, hot fomentation or a hot foot bath, you always cold to the head. One of the couple basic, rules of that of hydrotherapy treatments. Number one, if you're doing a heating treatment, you always put cold on the head. If the cold washcloth gets warm, you wring it out and put it back on cold, and put it in ice water, run it under cold water, put it back on the head cold. Why? Because if your head gets overheated, you're going to get dizzy, and you can faint. You can get faint. It keeps too much circulation out of the periphery of your head. And of course, if you're doing a heating treatment also, you always have water to drink, cool water to drink nearby. When we would do hot fomentations in clinic, they always, you change out the washcloths on the head and you give the patient water to drink while they're having it. You can do a hot foot bath very easily at home. You wrap yourself up in warm clothing, put your feet in a hot foot bath, always cold to the head, have some water on hand to drink while you're doing the treatment. If you're having a treatment that makes you sweat, you need to drink. Constitutional hydrotherapy is where you do alternating hot and cold And it's a medium hot and a long cold. So you can do 10 minutes of a hot wrap and then 20 minutes of a cold towel around you, all wrapped up in blankets. And if somebody's doing it to you, they can wrap you up and put the cold towel first on your front and then on your back. And constitutional hydrotherapies are underutilized, and they can be a really powerful treatment for chronic illness, for autoimmunity, for cancer, and just to help you feel better in general. That I didn't mention. I have Craig here who was asking me if my brain fog is better. I feel like I didn't really get it. I was very fortunate that I had actual COVID. Did I get brain fog? As far as you could tell.
I don't know. Yeah.
I didn't really feel like I got it. I was very fortunate, and I think probably one of the reasons I didn't get brain fog noticeably. I mean, I didn't feel great the first few days when I was feverish, but I was still able to read and think and stuff. And then when I got back to work, I was able to think. And I did fine with that. I didn't really have it. And I wonder if that's because there are supplements I'm taking that probably protected me, like curcumin and SPMs, which are the resolvin portion of fish oil, great anti-inflammatories, resveratrol. I took a lot of things that keep cytokine levels down and drank a lot of water, didn't eat a lot of sugar, and rested a lot. And I didn't really get brain fog, and my brain feels pretty good right now. Mm. What do you think? How's my brain sound right now?
It sounds like normal.
Yeah, it sounds like normal. Mm. Yeah. Sound like normal. Braino Fran. Okay. And the other thing is, I didn't talk about washing your hands. So people, and Craig mentions to help with his brain function, he uses magnesium L-threonate. Thanks for that, Craig. Magnesium L-threonate, if you want the magnesium to get into your brain and help calm your brain and help your brain to work better, help with neurological function, because magnesium is great for managing the functioning of your brain. It's a membrane stabilizer. It helps all the nerves in your body to work in a more stable fashion. Magnesium L-threonate, of all the magnesium salts that you can get, seems to be the one that crosses the blood-brain barrier the best. And so magnesium L-threonate can be very helpful. We give magnesium L-threonate to people in the spectrum, to people who are very anxious. For people who are moderately anxious, I'll tend to do magnesium. I take magnesium glycinate malate myself. So glycine also gets into the brain. I think magnesium L-threonate probably gets into the brain better than glycinate, but magnesium glycinate does get into the brain. And it costs a little less than the magnesium L-threonate. But for some people, the magnesium L-threonate just works so well, it's worth it. And you can get magnesium L-threonate in powder, which is going to make it a little more economical. You know, magnesium doesn't taste good. It's very bitter. So to get a magnesium that tastes good enough for you to put in a drink is not easy. But there's a couple companies that do a pretty good job of it. There's one company that uses a magnesium, I think it's ionized magnesium citrate. And people find that one very calming. And because it's in a liquid, it probably gets in pretty well. And Craig is shouting out that he uses MAG-3 and 8 for Lyme disease, which makes sense because Lyme, of course, affects your neurological system and can affect your brain and helps. And so the magnesium L-3 and 8 helped with brain fog. If you can manage it and you have brain fog, magnesium L-3 and 8 can be a really great way to go to help with brain fog and any brain stuff, stress, anxiety, thought processes, attention deficit, all kinds of stuff like that. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is washing your hands. So we haven't been focusing on washing your hands as much because we found out that fomites catching COVID off of surfaces was not as big a deal. Having said that, since COVID, I'm washing my hands a lot more at the office. I have hand sanitizer. I sanitize my hands before I touch the patient, after I touch the patient, and depending on the kind of physical exam, if I'm doing a long physical exam where I'm touching various parts of them, I might sanitize a few times in between. So I might have a rule that when I touch a patient's feet, and if I'm going to touch them somewhere else, I'll sanitize my hands after I touch their feet. And they're like, I had patients say to me, I know my feet are gross. I'm like, that's not it. It's just that I'm touching your feet. They have stuff on them that maybe you don't want on your arms. It's right. Not, you're not gross. We all have that. It's okay. And, you know, if I'm about to touch your genitals, if I've been doing other physical exam, if I'm doing a genital exam, male or female, I'm going to have gloves on, but I will generally sanitize my hands even before I put the gloves on, which makes the gloves harder to get on because we don't use powdered gloves anymore. So anyway, so the point is that even though COVID is not really so much caught by fomites, other things are, especially respiratory syncytial virus, which was a big deal earlier in the year. It's not as big a deal now, but other respiratory infections do have a fomite method of transmission. And you know what else does is gastrointestinal illnesses. And you don't see as much gastrointestinal illness out there as you see respiratory illnesses. But I still think it's a good idea to regularly wash your hands. I'm still keeping hand sanitizer in my car. I'm sanitizing when I come in to the car from out, whether it's the bank or the post office or the store. And I have this lovely hand sanitizer that has lavender in it and smells really good. So I'm motivated to use it. And that's one way to keep yourself motivated to use it. Now some of you don't like to have scents at all, and that's fine. But if you enjoy scents, you can motivate yourself to use the hand sanitizer by having a hand sanitizer that has a scent that you like. And lavender does it for me. Not everybody likes lavender, but I really enjoy it. Lavender's calming. It's refreshing. It smells good in the summer or the winter. Some things are sort of heavy and hang in the air in the summer. I don't like too much vanilla in the summer. I prefer citrusy things. Citrus is another nice thing. If it's orangey or lemony or grapefruity, you might enjoy that. Sometimes you might like flowery. Everybody's different. But if you have a hand sanitizer that smells nice in your car, you might be more inclined to use it. But I still think it's important to do because there are other illnesses that you can catch and spread by fomites. And I'm still wiping down all my surfaces in between every patient. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is that, you know, if there are any fomite issues, I'm cleaning them down. It does feel good in a spiritual sense to clean the room in between patients. And it also forces me I used to let one patient go and bring the other patient right in. I don't do that anymore. I always have a break in between patients where I clean the room and use lavender hand sanitizer, and that calms me down. All right, so we didn't talk about general survival tips for the cold and flu season. We'll get to that next week in this cold and flu survival, which I think is still going to be important in the month of March because we are not done with winter yet. It's going to snow tonight and into tomorrow. So we want to talk about that. And then after that, we'll get into cardiovascular disease. So I'm going to go now. It was nice talking to you. More info to help you make it through respiratory infections that you might encounter, and we'll get to more of that next week. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.